remember when I had my first love, my first girlfriend, my first real girlfriend. I had one before that, but my first real girlfriend lasted about a year and a half. And one day she broke up with me. And I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated. I was about 19, so I wasn't that young. But for a guy, I was pretty young. And she broke up with me in the backyard. And I started bawling. I started crying so hard. I didn't know how to handle it. This was the person I spent all my time with. This is the person that I believed I loved and that she was the one and that we were going to be together forever. If that was even a thought in my mind back then, but I didn't know of any other life without her. I didn't know anything else. It was all about her. All my thoughts were about her. And when they weren't, I knew that I was going to see her again. So when she said, I don't think we should see each other anymore, I just started crying. I felt like, I mean, at 19, I was pretty much an adult and I was just crying my head off right in front of her. Why? And I mean, I can laugh about it now. But she said, I just think we should. And then at the end of my crying, it feels like it lasted about 20 minutes. At the end of my crying, she said, well, okay, let's just see what happens. We'll try again. And I said, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so I was so grateful. Thank you. And the next day she broke up with me. Permanently. That was it. We were done. And I forget if I cried again, but that was it. That was the end of our relationship. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to feel. I didn't know what to do with my life. Because my life was so wrapped in that relationship. I remember my first real job. It was at a Kmart. And I was there for 2 months. And it was boring. I was doing, stocking shelves and learning to use the register. And this was before, I think, that girlfriend. But that first job, when I got fired because somebody else was better than me, and they were just saying, we don't need you, we can use this other guy. I didn't know what to do with myself. My life was about that job. That's where my income came from. I wasn't so devastated like losing that girl later on in life, but it was confusing, and I was sad, and at the same time, I was happy because I didn't like the job, but I didn't know what to do. I was just lost. And some people can lose a relationship. You can lose a relationship. You can lose a job. You can lose something important to you and have no idea what to do with your life. Some people might become depressed. I actually did become depressed losing another relationship later on in life. Some people can hurt themselves or commit suicide. I mean, there are so many things that can come to mind. When you lose something or you experience something for the first time. And this is basically what I want to comment on today, which is experiencing something for the first time. When you experience something for the first time, you have no experience. There's nothing in your life that you can reference and tell yourself, okay, this is what's going to happen next. This is what I'm going to go through. This is what I've experienced before. I made it through. I'm okay now, but it's happening again. So I know what to expect. It sucks. It feels terrible. It may be devastating, but I know I made it before. But when you don't have that life experience behind you, then what do? What state of mind do you go into? What emotional state do you go into? For me, it was either crying or depression or just feeling like I didn't belong, feeling lost. We know all the feelings. I mean, you know all the feelings I'm talking about. When something happens that you've not experienced before, or even if you have, and you just don't know how to handle it, it's just overwhelming. And when it's overwhelming, you don't know what to do. And so I want to comment on that today because we tend to make decisions based on experience. And when we don't have that experience, when we don't have that reference, we might make the wrong decision. And I know for a fact, this is without a doubt a fact, when we go through something horrible, something devastating, something depressing, whatever it is, that if you've not experienced it before and you have no point of reference to know what happens next or to know that you're actually going to survive this, then if you are thinking negative thoughts or thinking that this will now be your life from now on, you are not informed. You don't have enough information to know that's true. You don't know what's going to happen. All you know is that you're in this space. So when something hasn't happened before and it's your first time and you're in this space, you have to give yourself a break. You have to open your mind. You have to know that something good can and will come again. You just have to know it. It's faith. It's faith that something good will happen in the future or even today. And that's hard to do when you don't have the experience. That's what first time anything does to our lives. If you experience something for the first time and it's negative, just like going through a breakup, if you've not experienced a breakup before, it's going to feel like the worst feeling in the world for most people. It'll feel awful. It'll feel like the end of the world, like I was saying earlier. And when it feels like the end of the world, you might think, why bother? Why bother going on? Why bother being here if they're not in my life? The reason I'm talking about this today is because the people I've worked with over at healedbeing.com, over at loveandabuse.com, the people that I've heard from, the people who have reached out to me, the people that I've chatted with in the support over at Healed Being, some of them have been in their relationship for so long, it's like their first relationship, their high school sweetheart. And some of them have been in the relationship for so long that it does feel like their first real, or it probably is, their first real relationship. And because it's their first real relationship, if there's a threat of separation or divorce or breaking up of any sort, or even time apart, it can feel devastating. And it's that devastating feeling that they might have for the first time. And they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to deal with the pain. There can be so much pain that they've never had to process before. If this is you, listen closely, because what's happening is it's your first time. You have no point of reference. You have no idea if you're going to get back together or not, or maybe you know you're not going to get back together. But let's just say that you went through a breakup and it's your first breakup because it's your first relationship. What do you do with that? How do you handle it? How do you deal with that? I don't have a magic pill for this, but I can tell you this. After my first real relationship ended, I knew I would never be happy again. I knew for a fact. From that point on, unhappiness was going to be the rest of my life, or it's going to make up the rest of my life. That would be me. I would be completely unhappy. And so I just went through day after day being miserable. I went to my job. I went home. I couldn't call her. I couldn't talk to her. And we didn't have texting back then. I couldn't even text her. We didn't have email. I couldn't email her. I couldn't do anything. I was alone. And I didn't know what to do. So I just pushed through every day. This actually builds something in you. It builds, I don't want to say resilience. I don't want to say character. It actually builds the reference that you need for your future. It builds almost a toleration or an understanding of what life can throw at you. And that sounds so minimizing or invalidating, and I don't mean it to sound like that. But what I mean is, when you go through something for the first time, you will experience everything as if you were a child learning how to walk. When a child or even an infant learns how to walk, They get up, they fall down. They get up, they fall down. They hurt themselves, they fall down. They get up again, and then they can stand for a little bit, and then they fall down. Then they can walk a little bit, and then they fall down. But it's a painful process. I mean, for some, it can be a painful process. It's different for a child because there's the matter of curiosity, like, wow, I can get somewhere faster. I can be higher from the ground and reach things now. Oh boy. I can do more. I can get to places in the house or outside that I couldn't get to before, and suddenly my life has changed. There's an air of curiosity to that, which is so much different than any type of feeling that you might have after something devastating or painful. That curiosity doesn't come with devastation and pain. I wish it did. Like, what's going to happen next? And there is something to that. Let me save that for a minute. There is something to that, curiosity in the midst of devastation and pain. But it is like a child learning how to walk or how to talk or how to do anything because it's their first time. So even at 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, if you lose something that you've never lost before, or you go through some huge challenge or devastation that you've never experienced before, it's going to be like you're a child again. And you won't know how to handle it. And you're going to have emotions probably very much like a child. Wah! You might cry. You might scream. You might get angry. You might throw something. You won't know how to handle it. You won't know what to do. And so you will lash out. Maybe not in front of others, or maybe in front of others, but you'll do something. You'll cry, you'll scream, you'll punch your pillow, you'll walk around moping or depressed like you have no compass and you don't know which way to go. So when you're in that space, there's a little hope. And there's the difference between faith and hope, right? Faith will get you somewhere. It will keep you in that space of believing that there's something coming. Whereas if you don't have any hope, then what you'll have is a miserable outlook of what's to come. Just like I did, I had a miserable outlook of what was to come every time something miserable or challenging happened to me because it was my first time. And so I had no faith. I had hope, but my hope usually revolved around, I hope I get that thing back or that person back. That was my hope. And of course, that's a great way to disappoint yourself. I hope I get what I just lost back. And doing that will keep you in a rut. I've been in that rut many times. And the many times thing, here we go. So when something happens to you many times, not just the first time, but again and again, what ends up happening is what I started to hint about earlier. And that is the curiosity about what comes next. I think it's important to be curious about what comes next, but it can be difficult to get there if you've never had something happen before, just like I'm talking about now. If it's your first time, it's hard to be curious about what comes next. If you lost the, quote, love of your life, how can you be curious about what comes next if you want what you just lost? That is the difficulty of something happening for the first time. But what I'm talking about is something that's happened to me. I've had many breakups. I've lost many jobs. And as you get older, and you go through more life experiences, if you don't have just one relationship your entire life and then a breakup, which is your first time, or if you don't just have one job your entire life and then lose that job the first time or something else the first time, and you go through many experiences, many losses, many devastations throughout life, I'm not saying it's easier. It's not. It's not easy at all. But what does happen, and what can happen if you allow it, if you are able to take a step back and see that you have survived this before, and hopefully it doesn't happen again, but you know you will again, if you have that, I would say, optimism, if you allow that thought process in your head, then you might just be curious about what happens next. And the only reason I say that is from pure and total experience. I have gone through breakup, after job loss, after devastation, after losing relatives I care about. I've gone through a lot, just like all of us have. We've gone through a lot. But what I'm talking about is loss brings what can be found. Loss can help you find something else. And we don't normally look at it that way, but, or at least a lot of us don't look at it that way because we're so focused on what we lost. I mean, if you lost somebody you love, that person's no longer around. How can we look forward to something else? How can we look forward to finding something else? We don't want to replace that person or that pet. Losing a pet, how can I ever replace my cat? I can't. But something will be found and it will be different. And that's part of the acceptance process of losing something, is knowing that what happens next will be different. It has to be different because what we had was unique. It was specific. It was original. It was unique to us. And the formula could have only worked the way it worked because you were involved and the other person or thing or animal or whatever was involved. And because of that formula, it created something very unique. And you can't have that. Once it's gone, you can't have that again. And I had to learn that. You've learned that in ways in your life. You've had losses. You've had experiences that have brought you down to your knees and made you sad or made you angry or made you depressed. You've had experiences that have put you in a state of being that you don't want to be in. And you want what you want back. And when you can't get it back, what do you do? That's where we are again. What do I do? And I'd like to conclude with this understanding, this realization, something I learned, some wisdom that I gained along the way through experience. Nobody ever told me this. People said that, oh, you know, it gets easier over time. It never gets easier. That wasn't the wisdom. It doesn't get easier, but what does change is that once you've experienced loss or devastation or any type of challenge that brings you down, something else unique comes along. Always. I'm telling you, this is the truth. Something else unique always comes along. I knew I would never be happy again after that first relationship failed. I knew it 100%. And then something else came along, something unique, a new experience, a new person. And then I lost her. And then something else came along, something unique, a new experience. And I must have learned something because I held on to her for quite a while. And then I lost her. And then I got married to somebody else and I lost her. I lost very good people, very important people to me. And each time, it was just as painful as the last. The pain doesn't go away, but I've learned to develop a sense of optimism. I don't even like that word, optimism. Be optimistic. Think positively. I don't like that word. But I've learned that something will become found in the place of this loss. Something will become found. I know it's going to happen. During my divorce, it was devastating. It was something that I believed would last for the rest of our lives. And now here we are getting divorced. One of my thoughts, and I couldn't believe I thought this, one of the thoughts I had when I was going through the divorce was, wow, I wonder what's next. It wasn't like, wow, I wonder what's going to happen to me now. It was, I wonder what's next. If this is the big loss, what am I going to find next? And that gave me a sense of hope. It gave me a sense that life would get better because it usually does. That's hard to get. It's hard to understand when you're younger. It's hard to understand when you haven't gone through a lot of stuff. I started this podcast, The Overwhelmed Brain, back in 2013. And soon after that, that's when my divorce came. I was just starting to learn how to stop hurting the people I love. I was just starting to learn all that. And I felt really good inside. I felt really good about myself. And I wanted to share what I was learning with the world. I even had an episode where I interviewed, and this is when I interviewed people. And we were talking about how to treat your partner. And the person I was interviewing said a few things. And I said, oh my God, I'm not doing that at all. And she said, oh, well, you should start. You should start doing that right away. And I said, I'm going to. But at that time, my marriage was ending and it was too late. I had done too much damage. So it was too late. But I did learn. I was gaining wisdom through terrible experiences, which a lot of us do. As long as we gain the wisdom, as long as we learn the lessons, we can take those experiences with us and start developing an attitude of what comes next. What does come next after something challenging happens? I don't know. But I do know that something unique will come. It won't be the same. And I've learned that it's better when it's not the same. That might be hard to believe. It's better when it's not the same. Because I used to have a very strict idea of what a good relationship looked like, of what a perfect job looks like, or, you know, I'll never find another animal, another pet like my cat or whatever. I'll never find those things again. But what I did was define happiness based on the structure of those relationships, the structure of my relationship with a partner or an animal or a job. I based happiness on that structure. And if we do that, if we base happiness on a specific structure, we may end up disappointing ourselves and feeling disappointed when we lose the makeup of that structure, when we lose the components of that structure. And what I've learned is that every structure that I've created, every relationship that I've created, is made up of components that fulfill my life and make me happy and give me the challenges that I want in life, not the ones that I don't want. And when I have those components, I know for a fact that if I have these components, that I will be happy. But when one or more of those components disappears, they go away, they break up, they fire you, whatever. When one or more of those components disappears, if you don't have anything else that defines happiness for you in your life, you may not have faith that something unique and wonderful and fulfilling will come along again. If you define happiness based on the existing structures in your life and those specific components, and you are not willing to see that other components can make up a different structure, a different framework for your happiness, then you risk being more unhappy if and when you lose that. That doesn't mean those components won't be in your life indefinitely. It doesn't mean that there's a chance that you will lose them. It just means you might be unprepared if and when you do lose those things. And the solution to that, the way through it, is to get into a I wonder what's next mindset in a positive way. I wonder what's next. I just went through this very challenging time. I lost this very important thing, this very important person or job or pet. And now I'm in this terrible space. How do I get through this? Well, ask yourself, I wonder what's next. I wonder what's coming for me. I wonder what I'm going to find and what's going to find me. Because that's what happens. And I know there might be some people listening now that say, that's not true. I've been waiting for years. It's not true. And I want to make sure that if you're in that space, if you're in what I might call a rut, that you've opened your mind to what else could make you happy, even if you don't believe it's true. For example, let's just say that you have a certain type. Let's just talk about romantic relationships. You have a certain type, and that is your type, and you won't settle for less, so you've crossed a lot of people off your list. I won't settle for that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not attracted to that. That's not a thing for me. So you cross them off your list. So now you've limited your opportunities. if you're in that space, again, I'm not talking to everyone, but if you're in that space, then when you limit your opportunities, you will have limited opportunities. And if you don't catch the opportunities because they're so limited, you may never get what you want. And if you don't get what you want, you may not think that what you want is available or out there. But let's make sure you're not in a box of thinking that keeps you in that rut. And that box of thinking is, I will only accept this. Now, I'm not talking about, okay, I'll let somebody in that's mean. No, that's not what I'm talking about at all. But for example, my fiance, Asha, she has a certain type. I am not that person. I'm not her type. She told me that. That felt really good. But I'm not her type. She said, I don't like blondes. I would never date a Paul. I don't know where she got that, but and she said she likes tall people, but she thought I was too tall. I'm 6'4", and I remember the very first time we met. We actually met online, but the very first time we met in person, she looked up at me. She's like, I better not say. She's shorter than me. And she looked up and said, you're not that tall. That was the first thing on her mind, the first criteria that I had to pass. I had to pass the you're not too tall check mark or you're not that tall. And so after I passed that test, we got along great. But we've had many conversations that I'm not the person that she would pick from a crowd. But what had to happen is she had to open her mind. She had to open her horizons and expand her criteria and try something different. In fact, she wrote down a list of the perfect partner. She had all these items for the perfect partner. And I fit about 95% of them. So I looked good on paper. But when we met, or when she saw me online for the first time, she couldn't understand her, how can I say this? I don't want to put words in her mouth, but it seemed like she didn't know why she was so attracted to me. And I don't mean physically, but I just mean in so many other ways. Like I said, on paper, I looked great to her. I mean, I'm not saying this about myself. To her, I looked great. So she immediately had her suspicions, rightly so. But I mean, not because she was right, but you should always have your suspicions if somebody looks perfect. So I looked very good on paper. And then when we met, and I was very congruent from the paper checklist that she had and my behaviors and my actions, not only for the first 2 or 4 or 6 months, but for years, I've stayed this person. So she has become more and more attracted to me over the, well, it didn't take that long, but she became more and more attracted to me over the months and years. And I've always shown up for her. I keep showing up for her. And it's the best relationship of both of our lives. It really is. We've talked about it. It's the best relationship of both of our lives. And what's funny is that she's not my type either. When we first met online, I was living with my mom. It was shortly after my divorce, and I wasn't ready to date, but I was on these dating sites, and I realized, what am I doing? I shouldn't be on these dating sites. I just got divorced. I need to heal. I need to work on myself. And that's what I did. I just stopped talking to people online. But she was the very last person that reached out like the day before I stopped talking to anyone and got off the dating sites. And we stayed friends online for months. There was no romantic, not really a romantic interest at all. It was just staying friends. It was somebody to talk to. But I told my mom, I said, she is crazy. I would never date her. And my mom said, of course you would. And I said, no, she's crazy. And she goes, I think you're going to date her one day. I think you're going to be with her. I said, Mom, no. She tells me about her dreams and there's crazy stuff that she thinks about. And she is not my type. That was my belief. She's not my type. She doesn't make up the structure of what makes me happy. My box of thinking. She does not have the framework of happiness that I look for. So therefore, I can't possibly be with her because I wasn't going to open my mind to that. I wasn't going to expand my horizons or allow something that wasn't in my framework of happiness into my life. Boy, I'm glad I changed that. I'm glad that I opened that box that box of thinking, and allowed something different into my life, something that did not fit my criteria for happiness. I allowed something different into my life, something unique, something I'd never experienced before, something that I didn't know if it was going to make me happy or not. I just tried it out. And so did she. And it worked out. It worked out phenomenally well. Had I not opened the door, had she not opened the door to somebody that we may not have necessarily picked from a crowd, then life would have been different. The next thing would have come along, I'm sure. But we would have both missed this opportunity to meet someone that would be so fulfilling in our lives. And it was because I chose to open the door. It was because she chose to open the door. Open that box of thinking to let something else in, a different component that might make up the framework of a happiness that I hadn't experienced before. This is why I believe it's so important that after something challenging happens to you, after you're down in the dumps and you believe it couldn't get any worse than this and you'll never be happy again, that you should remember that what you believe makes you happy may not be the totality of what makes you happy. What you believe fulfills you may not be the totality of what fulfills you. It may be something that you haven't considered or didn't want to consider. It may be something that you choose to expand your mind on so that you get to try something new. Because, you know, trying something new just means you're trying something new. It's nothing that you have to commit to. You just try it out and see what happens. And if you find yourself feeling good and feeling happier over time, maybe that's the right path. That's how I usually see things, or at least that's how I assess things, is if I'm trudging through mud, I'm probably going in the wrong direction. But if I'm experiencing little to no resistance, or what my partner Asha calls glitches, then I believe I'm going in the right direction. And I keep going in that direction because it feels good, satisfies me, makes me happy, puts me in a better state of mind. I think when that's happening, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, if you're in a happier state and you don't feel that resistance, you don't feel those glitches, then you're probably going in the right direction. But if you feel like you're trudging through mud and every day is a chore, then maybe something needs to change. And that might require being open to something else or something new. Stay strong. Thank you for joining me today. I appreciate you. I'm grateful you tuned into the Overwhelmed Brain, and I want to thank the patrons that support this show. They are the financial backers of the show. I am very grateful for them too. If you value the show like these patrons do and you want to give back, head over to moretob.com. And for a show on how to navigate the difficult relationships, listen to my other podcast called Love and Abuse over at loveandabuse.com. And if you know you're the difficult one in the relationship, join the program that is helping a lot of people heal over at healedbeing.com. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in the Overwhelmed Brain. And just a reminder, and this is very relevant to what we just talked about, always keep your mind open, because that's how you make decisions that are right for you. And be firm in those decisions to let the world know who you are. Always work on your personal growth and emotional evolution. You have more inside you than you could ever imagine. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.